before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Love is stressed all through. No matter what the circumstances, going, coming, with them, love is what holds the world together in the spirit. You find out why when you're in the spirit. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father given all things unto his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from the supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them then with a towel wherewith he girded. What's going on? What is the symbolism? Does he think their feet are dirty? Is he saying something? What is he saying? This is to you and to me. I'm sure he didn't have to wash their feet with a towel. I'm sure whatever he was doing to those disciples, he long had done. He was telling something to somebody. Do you think it was the people in the room that was making conversation with? Or was he speaking to 100 million people who would follow? What was he saying to you? To me? To each individual? How in the world could a teaching be as wonderful as this? All through the Bible, he teaches them without saying what he wants to say, because it has to make a deeper impression. If he were to say what he wanted to say, they'd probably never see the Bible again. You and I wouldn't be reading it now. He had to do everything in such a way that the so-called authorities would even boast of it. See what he did and see what he did. Nobody knew what he was saying, except someone who was aglow within and would say, see how wonderful what the Master is teaching them. And another person would say, well, he just washed their feet. Now, every one of you must not only know what he was saying, but you must feel within yourself the power of that moment, that he's washing the feet of them, but that's an interior event. And just as if you were there now, as he washed the feet, he was doing what you know you must do. He's commanding you, teaching you, loving you. So before we're through, we must understand this. You dwell on it for a few minutes while I read some more, but you've got to know what happens when he washes your feet. That's Christ washing the feet. You are standing there and your shoes are off, and Christ is washing your feet. But is he washing your feet? Or is he telling you something? And cometh he to Simon, Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? That's the man who later was called Saint Peter. He says here, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now what do you know that Peter didn't know? Jesus answered him and said unto him, I do, thou knowest not. Not now, but thou knowest hereafter. What did Peter learn hereafter about that event? What you are aware of now or about to learn. Everyone in this room is going out to wash the feet of the world. You must. You have no choice. You must do as Jesus did. He washed the feet of every disciple. We will wash the feet of every inhabitant of this world. We won't even ask them to take off their shoes. If you don't, you not only miss what is happening, but you miss a major part of the Jesus teaching, because it's the prelude to everything. Much happens after this. I should not wash my feet, says Peter. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Throughout, the Bible is a masterpiece that gives to those who want what they need, and that those who don't understand aren't hurt. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not to wash all, to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So you know what washing the feet meant, right? He was telling them that the body using the body as a symbol of whether or not a person was free of the body by knowing its reality, or hemmed in by the body not knowing its reality. If you knew that you were not in the body, which is what he was saying, if you knew that you were divine light, which is what he was saying, there was no need to wash. But he had to wash away a sense of mortality that was in each. He had to wash away the material substances which each accepted. He had to wash away everything that made a person think, I am a physical being. He was saying there is no human body. Now you know that's a brilliant stroke. Even Peter responded to it in the wrong way. And it could be used, the illusion could be spread in various types and various levels. But unless I wash you, you're going to have that material body. I'm not going to wash away the body. I'm telling you that you must. And so if I were to go among you and wash your feet, that would be the same thing. And I would be saying, this body is not your body. I wash away a little segment, but all of it, none of it, is your body. Your body is invisible light. Don't clothe yourself in a physical form and expect the world to reflect to you all that God is, all that God says you are. You are light, pure light, heavenly light, light that hasn't a flaw in it. Not light that goes through the streets and robs and murders and kills, but light that shines always. Light that loves its neighbor. Light forever in every circumstance. Light that only knows the truth of being, not the truth of matter. He was saying all this by washing their feet. But he was saying it to us. He didn't know us, but we were coming. He knew the world would come. He was telling the world to wash the feet of the world and look further than the matter. Look at the reality. Right in the midst of his trials, he was teaching. We have a function to ourselves. Between today and tomorrow, you've got to look at your body. You've got to meditate on your body. You've got to understand your body. You've got to see that God did not give me this body. If He had, it would be forever. If He had, it would be perfect now. God didn't give anyone their body. The body of Jesus Christ was not made of atoms, carbohydrates, substances that we all know. That's why there was no conception. And that's what divine conception meant. I have given you a perfect body of life. The same was said to you when you were born. You didn't hear it. You couldn't. Perhaps your mother heard it. One out of a million does. Perhaps not. And so you started out with a feeling of a mother's love for her physical baby. And that physical baby had to learn in the process that I'm not a physical baby. I'm not what you see. I'm the light of God. Just as Jesus was the light of God at His birth, only His mother saw Him for what He was. And if every mother could see you for what you are, you would be an angel right now. And our world would be slightly different than we see. But even mothers are capable of not knowing that their child is not formed by God. It's a prelude to an act that someday will bring the presence of God into each life. Until that day, we have to take some measure of awareness into our daily life that this child is not what he appears to be. And no one that I know is what he appears to be. I keep washing the feet of humanity for that reason. The light must show. The light must be seen by my soul. The light must be seen by your soul. You look at everyone you know and you say to yourself instinctively, this is the light of God. And as you know this truth of everyone you see, regardless of what they are showing, because they don't know the truth of themselves, the Father who sees you knows that you are honoring the Son. He who honors the Son honors the Father. We all have within us the ability, the knowledge, the capacity to walk in the heavenly kingdom. At the instant we acknowledge that everyone in the world is covering up the light of God unknowingly. But we know that the light of God is here, invisibly, and flows without restriction through anyone who has the vision, the awareness of the presence. And it is our function to have that awareness. That is a 24-hour awareness. It doesn't matter what you say or do, I must know that you are the child of God. That's my salvation. I must always bathe in the invisible light. If an army is coming at us, it will only appear that way, and I must see in the army the invisible light. It's a hypothetical case. It may not happen, and you may not have to do that, but you will find that the invisible light will always embrace you when you do. The hardest thing is to turn something on. You may know it's true, but it's buried. And you're walking around with a buried truth inside you. You've got to practice and practice and practice doing it, learning to bring it to the surface. And out of all this practicing will come the fact that your light will shine. Many have moments of crying. Why? Because they know not the light. You will find that your help is right where you are. Because ye are the light. And there's no sense crying about something when you can remedy it. And the remedy is so simple. Live as the light. Let it shine. Let it illumine those around you. When you are sending the light out, that's all you're going to see, feel, know. You're going to bless the world. We each have that opportunity. And as we dwell in the truth of our being, we'll find that there is nothing else true. I am the light whether I know it or not. Ye are the light whether you know it or not. And we, being the light, can know we are the light. We find that we are the kingdom of God. In order to find it, you have to recognize it where you are. And the magic. When you know the kingdom of light, the magic takes place. I even suspect that they don't have Bibles in the Kingdom of Light. Everyone is a walking Bible. Everyone. I don't don't know how Light shakes hands, but I'd like to shake your hand before you go. I will silently acknowledge the light of you. I'm grateful for this opportunity to speak with you, to share with you. I'd like to meet something of you in your reality. And I hope that's what we find happening as we say goodbye. Thank you very much for a glorious time. I say goodbye to the light, and may your light shine.